It's time for Squawk Talk, talking business to business. Squawk Talk highlights business and business owners in the Atlanta area. Squawk Talk is brought to you by Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration.
Well, good afternoon. We're broadcasting live from the Eagle's Nest in the heart of Atlanta. Welcome to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. I'm your host, Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration. We have a very special edition of Squawk Talk today. Joining me in the studio is a panel of industry experts in the field of real estate. Today, we'll be discussing topics and issues that face buyers and sellers alike. But let's take a minute to get to know our panel. Panel, tell us a little bit, when I call on you, tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe how long you've been in the industry, and if you have a specialty within real estate. We're going to start off with Ginger Somerville with Keller Williams Realty.
I'm Ginger Somerville with Keller Williams Realty at Sugarloaf. I have been in the business since 2007 and came to work at the Sugarloaf office shortly after getting my license. Lived here in Duluth all of my life and am very in tune to what's going on in this area and in the Gwinnett area.
Very good. Our next guest is Heather Wilson from W&T Global and Keller Williams Realty.
Hi, I'm Heather Wilson with Keller Williams Realty and W&T Global. Thank you for having us on. I have been in the industry about 18 years, started in banking with SunTrust, moved to mortgages, and on to commercial and residential real estate.
Okay, very good. And our last panel guest today is Stan Jones from the Stan Jones team, Keller Williams Realty.
Hey, thanks so much for having us today. I've been in the business since 2006 with the Keller Williams there at Sugarloaf. I've thoroughly enjoyed the time being with buyers and sellers, so really excited about being here today.
Very good. Well, obviously we have a lot of loyalty here to Keller Williams today, but we as we all know, they are experts in the industry. So let's start off with the panel and talk us about, you hear people saying it's a buyer's market, it's a seller's market. What is the market looking like today?
Personally, this is Ginger, and I kind of feel like it's a buyer's and a seller's market right now. The inventory is half of what it was last year, but the interest rate is still phenomenal for buyers. So to me, it's kind of a good time for you to either buy or sell right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. We are seeing both markets, buyers and sellers. You also could break it down into price points. If you're under $500,000, you're selling a home, it's distinctly a seller's market, and that's pretty much throughout the entire Atlanta metro area. Buyers still, as Ginger just mentioned, buyers still can get in a phenomenal price. If you look at a 2007 market when we were right at the peak versus today, we're still well below that with price points. So you do have the seller's market and the buyer's market wrapped up in one. And then she mentioned about the interest rates, and that's what's making it such a pressure. There's so many buyers that are saying, I'm ready to get into that position, whether it's their first home or it's their last home, and they're transitioning into that. Great time to be a seller buyer in that either move up or transition a lateral move because of what Ginger just mentioned.
Very good. And Heather, you do a little bit with commercial. What does the market look like in the commercial end of things?
Well, I think commercial, typically we have a tendency to follow a little bit with the residential. So the commercial is just now starting to really come back and pick up as well. And I've been focusing on the residential a little bit more in the last year and have followed the same trends and everything that we just heard from Stan and Ginger.
Very good. So in a seller's market, houses are selling very quickly. What typically is an average price in our area? We're in the Gwinnett Metro Atlanta area. How long is it taking people to sell their house? It used to be 6 months, a year down the road for people to be selling their houses. What's it look like today?
So average within Keller Williams is right at 57 days. That's from the time that's listed to time that it goes under contract, which is that's just phenomenal. We are actually seeing it even quicker than that. Many homes under 500,000. We're seeing homes go under contract in a day, multiple offers, 24 or 48 hours, which is very exciting for everyone.
Absolutely.
Buyers and sellers alike, go ahead.
That's one thing with the sellers. I think their big concern right now is, what do I do if I do sell my house? And we have to educate them in the beginning that there is a chance that it could be under contract within 72 hours. I think Stan will agree with me that that's happening just about every day. If the house is positioned correctly on the market price-wise and the home is well-kept, updated, it's gone within 24 hours.
It great point with that, Ginger. A lot of sellers can kind of get lulled to sleep with, hey, it's just going to sell automatically. You still have some homework. Mm-hmm. You have to get your home ready to be – the move-in ready home is going to maximize your money. You need to be in position. We do see sellers where they're just saying, okay, let's just list it because we know it's going to sell fast. And 2 or 3 weeks later, we've not had anybody really to raise their hand to say they want to buy it. And it's because of what Ginger just mentioned. Get your home in condition, great condition, because that's going to maximize them and it's going to maximize the amount of money they can get.
Well, let's expand on that just a little bit. What does a seller need to do to get themselves ready and in position?
The home needs to be clean, get it painted, get the carpets cleaned. That's kind of the first thing they're looking at when they walk in. Your curb appeal is huge. You know, when you pull up, you want everything cleaned up. The front door looks great. I've even had clients just at least paint the front door because that's the first thing they're going to see. Staging is huge now, where it really didn't matter before because a lot of the homes were foreclosures and there was nothing there. But right now, they want to walk in, they want it clean, they want it neat, all the stuff out. So I pretty much tell my sellers, if you're not going to use it in the next 30 days, pack it and move it.
Yeah, so I call it a threshold sale. You're going to sell a home threshold 10 feet prior to the threshold of crossing into the home, 10 feet after. Curb appeal is huge. And then also, when you walk in, whether you like it or not, a buyer, when they walk in, every cent is going off, their sense of smell, mm-hmm. their sense of sight, anything at all, does it feel right for them? And from a seller's perspective, one of the first things that I would encourage a seller to do is get an unbiased opinion, and that's a realtor. Get a realtor out there, because most of us as sellers, we have no idea that our home might mm-hmm. smell differently than what a buyer may be thinking about. And so they need a fresh set of eyes, someone that's going to be completely unbiased and completely honest to talk about that front door. Be great for you to paint that. I, as a seller, may not even – I see it every day. I've seen it for the last 5 years. Doesn't bother me. But it's very important to get somebody to look at it and say, here's your punch list. You need to take care of these few things before you get started.
One of the things that I've been adding with my clients, specifically now that we are working with sellers and buyers at the same time, is I try to get them into the mindset of being the buyer that they are. And I actually have been going into my appointments and meeting with clients, talking about the buying side first, finding out where we're going to go, determine that, and get them into that mindset, which sometimes helps the transition to prepare their own home for another buyer.
Well, yeah, because I've heard a lot of people talking about, like you mentioned, 72 hours, things are selling or getting a listing under contract. So people would think, well, I don't have to do anything because as soon as I put it up for sale, I'll instantly have a contract. And maybe it's certain price points, there's some investors that are buying those houses blanket without even looking at them. But I think for the most part, you're saying that the sellers need to have a preparation time and then you will sell it that quickly. So typically for most, the average buyer, how long does that preparation time look at? So if somebody was thinking about selling, they still need to be thinking about it in a time frame out. What is that time frame for the average person to get that home ready to have that 72-hour contract come in their way?
Well, so it's probably case by case mm-hmm. that one seller is going to take care of every single thing as they're living there. And it's just very, very, as soon as something needs to be repaired, they're going through that preventative maintenance world. A lot of other sellers go, I'm just going to deal with that when I have to. So I think it really depends on the house. But those that have really taken care of it, you're just talking a small punch list, and a week or so they could be ready and get it listed as sold.
And the real estate agents are the ones that can really help them. They don't have to necessarily have the home inspector give them a punch list. A real estate agent can help them with that punch list.
No question. And I strongly would encourage anybody thinking about selling, get with a realtor because we're the eyes and ears. We see it every single day. We know exactly what buyers are looking for. We've met with sellers countless times, and they say, oh, well, we've done this, 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 and this, and we've spent $15,000. Great. They're beautiful changes. Unfortunately, those items are not going to provide a lot of value to them. If they would have called us first, we probably could have saved them a lot of money and headache. They would have focused their attention on some minimal things to get it aesthetically ready. So it's very important for them to call a realtor.
Mm-hmm. Heather, you kind of alluded to this where you're working with the buyer, the sellers, as if they were a buyer. What does a seller do when that house sells much quicker than they thought, and now they're in a scramble to say, where do I go?
Well, I actually have been taking my clients out even prior to doing the listing, and I set them completely up as a buyer first, mm-hmm. And kind of all together. But we start looking and seeing where they're going to go. We have those challenges because obviously depending on the price points, it's going to determine what houses are on the market. But that's kind of what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to prepare them that they may actually have to rent someplace or find a relative close by to live with, put their stuff, you know, in storage. Sometimes it's just inevitable depending on what the setup is and where they're going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really good points there, ladies. If you don't have an exit strategy, then your goal is really to prepare yourself to have the best sale price and then the best purchase price. When you have something where you have pressure that you've got to buy a home quickly, then all of a sudden now you might compromise. If you can get some type of an exit strategy, then you can take care of the sale of your home first, making sure that you maximize your money there, then deal with the purchase. That changes things.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right, well, we're listening to Squawk Talk, and today we have a special panel of guests in the expert field of real estate. Joining us today is Stan Jones from the Stan Jones team, Heather Wilson from Keller Williams WMT Global, and Ginger Summerfield from Keller Williams. Somerville, excuse me. So let's talk a little bit about if home values are houses are selling quickly. Presumably, home values are starting to go up a little bit from where they were just a few years ago. Is this the time that somebody's kind of on that fence to go ahead and get their house listed, or should they go ahead and wait and see if it comes up to where they want it to be, where they really want it to sell?
My biggest input on that is interest rate. Because one, if you're going to turn around and buy, you want the best interest rate. And two is that the buyers out there still want the best interest rate. So if you're waiting, then how much money is that going to cost you in the long run? Because now you're going to be paying a higher interest rate. And with the price point of the homes, I'm sure Stan will agree. And Heather, when you get up into the five, or probably above the threes, when you add up all that interest rate, that can be a lot.
And so where are the house values compared to where they were, say, just a couple of years ago, where back in 2008 things just plummeted? And obviously they've been coming up naturally, but where would you say the house values are these days in comparison?
Well, we have in the last 4-5 months seen a little bit of an increase based on the drop of inventory. However, something to consider, what I would say in the next few months, is obviously through the fall season, we typically have a lower inventory, so it's a great time to have your house on the market. Another thing to consider is we're starting to see a lot of newer construction come back on, so that will be another, you know, comparable coming up through the spring. So something to consider in the next few months and possibly going ahead and listing your home is that factor.
Mm-hmm. With new construction, obviously, they want to be comparable and sell quickly. Mm-hmm. So do you find that people have hesitation in selling coming into Christmas and they don't want to move mm-hmm. during the holidays? And how do we overcome that if it's a good time to be putting your house on the market and within a couple of months, now you think people are going to be, oh, I don't want to move at Thanksgiving, I don't want to move at Christmas? How do you help a seller get through that when it really is a good time to sell?
Well, historically, I think we see one of our best months is typically December, being the end of the month, both for tax purposes and a lot of other reasons that people choose to wait till the end of the year. So December has typically been an actual better month for most of us.
And also, year over year, we as a society are becoming more mobile. And so this seasonal thing of we only move during spring or summer, that's going away, and we're seeing a lot less trending toward that. So as families traditionally are starting to take their home off the market because they really say, I just don't want to deal with that during Christmas, if you want to sell, and we're watching a supply and demand take place. Supply is low, demand is high, prices are going up. You want to get a great price. There's not a lot of inventory out there. The buyers are still there. They're still trying to buy. If a buyer shows up in December, they're very serious. And so they're probably going to pay top dollar because they've got to find a home. So it's a great time to sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're getting transferred with their jobs. They've got to start a new job in January. And like Stan said, that's one thing that we've heard and learned is that they are serious buyers. They're not just looking around. They're ready to go.
And spring and Christmas break does offer that couple week break sometimes when they're needing to transition schools mm-hmm. and things like that. That's another smaller break in there.
Very good point. Very good point. So are you finding that houses are selling above what they're listing for? Or are they selling right at the listing prices or what? Where is that? Somebody talked about multiple offers coming in. Mm-hmm. Is that pushing the house values up above what people are even listing for, like you used to hear 10 years ago?
It's a fine line right there because they are offering more if they're really interested in the home, but the home still has to appraise. So, yeah, it's kind of a fine line there, but I think the offers are definitely coming in higher than what the homes.
We're certainly seeing listing price to sales price. That percentage is going actually down. That means that the prices are very close to the listing price. The beginning of the year is about 96%. Now we're right at 97%. So that's showing that you list your home, it's going to get sold very close to what you're listing it for. And we're also seeing a lot of homes go above as we get those multiple offers, which is pretty interesting. Ginger brought up a good point. You do see sometimes you see a frenzy in there where the prices now go above. Now you've got an appraisal where you've got to make sure it appraises. So not always. We do see homes sometimes will go $10,000, $20,000 above list price, but then the appraiser brings it back to real world and says, this is what the market really says it's worth.
Are you finding any sellers in the market out there who are still underwater in their houses? Like we hear, like 2008, where it dropped, and then maybe they had refinanced, and now they want to sell, but they're still underwater in their house.
Yes, certainly we are. We have reports now that we can pull up to see public information, and it shows pre-foreclosure status or lates, pretty much 2+ months late. And you can do a 1-mile radius or 2-mile, 3-mile radius around any home. We ran that report yesterday and saw a 3-mile radius of a home in Tecula, and it was 86 homes in pre-foreclosure. That's just on public record. There are probably many more that are not even showing on that little report. So upside downs, they're very, very real. People are late, and also values are just – the market just hasn't come back from that. If you bought in that 2007, you're likely still in that place unless you've paid a lot down.
And don't you agree that a lot of these banks are going to now start tightening up, and that the short sales are not going to happen as easily? There's still some foreclosures and short sales out there that are going to be happening.
It's a great point. We're unsure. Last year, we saw where the federal government kind of, for lack of a better word, incentivized the banks to get in position for the short sales and to get a better system. And they said they went through these regulations saying you have to respond within so many days, and they worked through that. We still have some work to do with that. But I think it's that showed that it's a very real problem, and it also showed that short sales are here. They're in here for a pretty lengthy time. And we're still seeing them. They certainly have slowed down a lot since last year and previously. But I don't think where they're going away for a while.
Yeah, I think the job market will still be commanding on how that ends.
That's a great point.
So there's still options for those that still are trying to get out of a house but need through a short sale.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And so let's talk a little bit now from the buyer's perspective. What kind of things does that buyer need to prepare themselves in order to get ready for that competitive market that's out there?
Be pre-approved.
And when she says pre-approved, what I typically have my clients do is in a full application and speak with the lender, making sure that we really are, have all our bases covered and ready to go.
Wow, great point. And when you're making the offer, we in the realtor community, we have to, since there are many times there are multiple offers, we have to differentiate ourselves with the offer. So we have to be very creative. You don't just fax an offer over. You've got to have some heart and soul behind it to share with a realtor. First, we're serious with the, as you talk about, that full approval, which is huge. So thanks for sharing that. But then also, share some emotion about maybe even a letter, a personal letter, talking with them from the heart. This is why we think we love, this family loves this house and would love to be there. And so it's very different now with how you present offers.
Yeah, I know that the few times that I've had the multiple offers recently, I'm not just looking at the number. I'm looking at the agent to see if they know what they're doing. I'm looking at the contract. You know, is it laid out nicely? Are there a lot of stipulations? Because it's not always about the number. Sometimes maybe their financing isn't that great, or it's FHA and this one's conventional. You know, who's going to really make it to the closing table and is really in for the deal?
And maybe another thing I would add is preparing our clients before we take them out, and understanding that, you know, if we ask the right questions and really narrow down what they're looking for, when we show them homes, that it's not going to be a deliberation time that, oh, we can hang out for a month and the same three houses and another three are coming on. The three that we showed you are what's here for 2 days. So let's discuss, you know, the goods and bads and the ugly, and we'll need to make a decision and kind of be ready to do that.
I think that's an important – all three of you made some very interesting, unique points, because you've got a lot of people that feel like they need to capture a lot of information, so you're trying to narrow down a lot of that information before so they can make those quick decisions. A lot of people have really struggled making quick decisions with home. It's the biggest purchase most people make. And, Stan, I liked what you had to say in terms of making an emotional appeal, because people who are selling the house, it's their home. And so I think that's a very interesting point to bring up, is you can accept an offer, not doesn't just have to be on a number. Certainly, Ginger, making the point that you're making an offer, is this closing going to go very smoothly? I think factors into a lot of it. But making that emotional appeal to accept an offer is very interesting as well. Have you had a lot of success in terms, is there a story where somebody's had a couple offers, but they wanted that family with that child? Can they make that? I mean, is there a... fair housing law against that.
As far as seller, when they're sitting in front of contracts and they see that, we have had that. And for them to show up at the closing table, we're starting to see it more where the buyer and the seller are actually face-to-face at the closing. That's doesn't happen too often. And so for a seller to be able to hand over those keys to the buyer, and they had that story behind them of the, hey, I have two children. I can see my children playing in that backyard or in that creek that touches the home. That's very real. And so, yes, we just played that out a couple of weeks ago. It closed on a home in Tequila, and it was the same scenario. And it was a very warm transition, whereas so often it can be very stark, black and white, mm-hmm. because a buyer is showing up, but there's nobody else in the room, closing on the home. And it's always a neat thing to have that emotion and to be able to hand over keys, and so that's a great thing.
I was fortunate to help a really good friend sell their home in Duluth, and the buyers that bought there had ended up becoming interested in another home after 2 years, so it was going to be a tight sale as far as what they might make off of the home. But the key thing was that the girl that had moved in with two children and my friends that had two kids never could take off the notches where they had put how tall their kids were. She said, we painted the whole house, but we never painted that, even though it was not her kids. So they do. They get attached to things like that. It's cute.
You're listening to Squawk Talk, and today we have a special show with our expert panel of guests in the field of real estate. We're listening to Ginger Somerville with Keller Williams Atlanta Partners, Heather Wilson from Keller Williams WMT Global, and Stan Jones from Keller Williams, the Stan Jones team. So let me ask a little bit of a question. Are you seeing any challenges with the investor market competing with the traditional real estate market? Has that created any hassles in terms of the traditional home buyers, because most of what we've talked about has been traditional home buyers, have they struggled against the investor market in today's market?
I would say in the last probably 6 to 8 months, we've started to see a little bit of a change with that. Some of the investors have pulled back a little bit because of the price points, market price points coming up. Our average price point, I think we saw, is upwards of $188,000 now in Gwinnett County, $188,000. Seeing that some of the investors have pulled back because of the price points, one of the things that I worked on with my buyers in order to meet up with that competition, if you will, is being more prepared and being ready to make decisions when you go out, understanding that still may exist.
Mm-hmm. No question, and certainly have seen a transition away. For about a year, there was a pocket that it was nearly impossible. If you were under $150,000, it was right in the investor wheelhouse to buy it and then to rent it out. And so for a traditional buyer to go out and compete with them, these investors were buying it sight unseen. They were in California or really all over the world. And so it was super, super competitive. It was very difficult for our buyers. It was a huge struggle. As you just mentioned, Heather, that folks have moved away from that. They have. But it still is very real. We have investors that will call us to say they're buying 30 homes a month in our market. You buy 30 homes a month, and with the lack of inventory that we're already seeing, that really starts, you know, cutting into the inventory levels. So they're still here. It's a very real concern for our buyers. So anybody that's attempting to sell, that certainly incentivizes a seller to get out there, because we have very strong, a lot of traditional buyers ready to buy.
And I think the point that you said, more of the emotional connect with a contract or an offer, that can really help for the seller to be looking at that. You know, a lot of sellers may hesitate to want an investor to buy it or to know that their home is going to be rented out in the future. So having one of your buyers go out with, you know, a good offer and to really paint that picture of who's moving in may be a good factor in that.
Great point.
And so we've got, I mean, all of you have talked about having a lot of buyers, a lot of folks trying to find homes. Are you finding people that maybe had lost their home back with the crash are now coming back into the market? Is that what's created some of the flux of buyers back into the market?
Certainly we're seeing that. That they're, you know, if they did a short sale, they're 3 years, and now they're primed and ready. We're also seeing a lot of sellers that are 4 or 5 years ago, they couldn't sell, or 2 years ago they couldn't sell. Now they're ready. Some of those really are saying, I'm going to go buy first and then sell my home. And so they say they want to assure themselves where they're going. And so they're ready. They're getting out there. They can qualify now. And so they're ready to go.
And that's exactly what I'm seeing. Most of my recent listings are completely qualified to go ahead and purchase prior to the sale. And that's what we're doing, moving forward on the buy side.
I would think that would help alleviate a lot of that anxiety, too, of where am I going to go if you can qualify for qualify for the second home and then be able to sell the other one or rent it, if you had to. So if somebody was out there and maybe they were thinking about doing that, or I'll just go buy the other house, what advice would you give somebody to say, this is why you should not try to sell your home on your own? This is why you need that, because they're seeing, I was able to buy that one so quickly, maybe I could just do a for sale by owner myself on my other one. What advice would you give that person?
I would say understanding the market prices and being able to actually price your home ready to sell. Sometimes, you know, you're getting lag behind information if you're not working directly with a realtor and you don't really know where the market is right on cue for that day per se. So that's something that you would want to know if, in fact, you do want to sell your home as quickly as we're talking about. That's where the expertise of the realtor comes in.
One thing with that also is the investor pool. The investors come to us and they say, this is the world that we typically dive into, is the for sale by owner, because we know how to sell and how to purchase real estate. Many sellers, they don't know. They don't know what the market value is. And so we, as an investor, they are going to those homes and knocking on the front door and buying them. That's a good thing, because a home's getting sold. Unfortunately, it's a 10 to 15% typically below what market is. And so that's a challenge. The seller may or may not know exactly what the market might be. Also, a seller may or may not know the legalities behind the contract. And so they get in, and investors from that world, they have a lot of different contracts and a lot of different ways that they go about purchasing a home. And I've had so many families to call and say, what do I do with this contract? It looks like I'm stuck a little bit, and I don't know that I really like this, through whether it's an option or different ways that they're selling. And really there isn't. I mean, you're legally bound to that, and so they're kind of stuck with what they have to do.
And a lot of sellers don't know how to handle multiple offers. You know, they're probably their first insight as not being a realtor is to pick the one that's the highest. So they need to understand that we're the experts. We're looking at this day in and day out, and they need our help.
And as you alluded to, if they're not familiar with those things, the appraisal might come in differently. They may not have good contract for closing, and so it could just because they pick the highest one doesn't mean it's going to go through.
And who's going to be there to, you know, help them through that appraisal process if something does happen?
And we saw a statistic on for sale by owners, less than 3% of homes are sold through for sale by owners. I love statistics, and so when you look at that, you say, well, if it was a really good thing to do, then we would have more and more people doing it. Mm-hmm. We've seen a decrease over the last few years, a huge drop, about 6% about 3 years ago, down to about 3% of homes being sold by for sale by owner. If you're trending up, then it seems that it would be a much more positive thing to do. If you're trending down, then that means that system may not be the best for you. Mm-hmm. So,
very good. Okay, so let's throw this out there. In your experience with all the sellers that you have worked with, this would be a two-part question. What would be the one piece of advice that you could give them that you see is one of the most common mistakes that sellers make? If you could tell every seller you had out there, don't do this. Stan, you almost kind of alluded to that with they spent all kinds of extra money that they didn't need to. But maybe if there was one thing that you see kind of commonly with sellers making a big mistake, either before their listing or while the house is under listing.
The biggest mistake I think right now is probably wanting to overprice the house. And my reply to that, if I really feel like they are just, you know, out of the ballpark, is to get an appraisal. Mm-hmm. And to use a reputable appraisal person to do that, because a lot of them will back you up when the appraiser comes from the bank, for whoever's buying the home and has a loan. You can get that appraiser, the appraisal that they did, and show it to the appraiser that's coming to do his appraisal.
Mm-hmm. So probably the biggest thing was what I talked about before, is being prepared. Talk with someone with that unbiased opinion and just make sure that when they are when they're getting ready to sell it, they're ready to sell it. I've got an example. I have two homes listed on one street, two doors down from each other. And one of them, it was fully renovated. I mean, fully renovated. Spent probably way too much to renovate, but looks gorgeous. And we got a maximum price on it. We're a little bit concerned with appraisal, but I got it under contract. We're waiting on the appraisal to come back. The other home is not finished. They didn't come in and even clean it. We listed it. They said, I don't have time. I want it listed. So we did that, and we get showings. But nobody makes offers. It's $60,000 less.
Wow.
Exact same square footage. They're not prepared. So we as a if we're selling, the seller community, be prepared to sell it, get it ready, and then when you get it marketed, it will sell.
Mm-hmm. And then let's take that same question on the flip side. Heather, I think you've alluded to a lot of this, but for the buyers, what's that one piece of advice that you could give to a buyer going into this market these days?
I would just say be prepared, make sure you're pre-approved, and maybe to the point of doing the whole nine yards and not just a pre-approval letter. I think the biggest part is for the realtor to educate them so that they know they need to be ready to buy the house. If this is the house that they want, they need to be ready to put an offer in that day.
Yeah, great, great point, Ginger. So many folks are not prepared for really the competitive world that we're in with the buyers. And so they show up and they say, you know, we're going to go look at 30 homes, and the first home that they see may be the best. The tools now available for buyers, really it weeds out the homes now. So buyers have a lot of power because the internet is so, so vast. So they're already doing their drive-bys by going online. So when they show up at a home, two things have happened. They've done their homework, and also the realtor has done their homework to send them exactly what they want. So it's not surprising for a buyer to show up first home, that's the home they want, and get moving. And we, as a realtor, we have to educate that. It's perfectly fine to show up at the first home, and that's the home you buy. We see it very often, whereas 5 years ago, that was not the case. You did have to go to 15, 20 homes before you felt comfortable. So buyers need to be prepared for that. And if not, then they're going to be 8, 10 homes later, and they're going to have multiple offers. They're going to get a bit frustrated because that's where we are. So they, as you guys, ladies, just said, be ready.
Mm-hmm. And I think you brought up an excellent point that the internet and social media has really changed the way buyers look at homes these days. They're not traveling, looking at a book and traveling all over and let's go look at this one. Talk to us a little bit about how in your individual businesses that social media or the internet has made that change for you. What all kinds of things are you doing to help your buyers and your sellers through the use of internet and or social media?
I usually try to sit down with my buyer from the beginning at a table with either one or both buyers, and we talk about what their wants are and why that's their wants, and then take the step of putting them on a gateway program, which sends out the homes that are in the areas or in the criteria that they've wanted. And they, you know, by the time they get to us and are calling us about a home, usually they've already driven by that house or gone to that neighborhood or they've already checked it out. And they know, and they pulled it up on the internet, and they pulled the school system up. So, you know, if you educate them in the beginning, then when they get to you and they're ready to go look, and you've said, okay, look through these and send me what you want, then by the time we go to look at it, they're going to really look at the ones that they are really interested in.
I think what Ginger just brought up is actually another point to working with realtors, is we have a lot of things on the internet that can lead us to believe something about the market or a house that's maybe not come on the market at all that you're still finding as an active through a various site. And by working with a realtor, you're oftentimes being given the tools to go directly and connect into our active system. And by doing that, that allows us to really help the process versus a lot of the things that we do see on the internet that are not up to date.
Without wasting a lot of time, which you might find a random link, and saves all kinds of time and effort. Absolutely. Well, today we've been listening to a special panel today from our real experts in the realtor. I'm going to throw one more question out, just because you all are connected with Keller Williams in some form or fashion. Some of you are individuals, some of you are part of a team. Why would somebody want to work directly with somebody in the Keller Williams? What draws you to work with Keller Williams?
I think it just comes from our core belief system. The biggest thing that Keller Williams believes is God, family, then business. And then one of our mantras is it's win-win or no deal. And we create that philosophy, and we hope that we live that philosophy out. And any seller that we're meeting, any buyer that we're meeting, any time that we're working together, we want a win for our client. We also need to know that there needs to be a win-win. And if you continue doing that, then real estate moves forward.
Absolutely. I would completely agree. And I typically share that with all of my clients. And that is oftentimes, you know, what brings them to us, I think, is our culture and our beliefs and how we do business.
Yep. I can fully agree with both of them. I put a lot of things in my packets for buyers or sellers that talk about the culture at Keller Williams.
Very good. Well, you've been listening to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. Special thank you again to my expert panel of guests for being on the show. As we close out, I'd like each of you again to tell us a little bit about your company, yourselves, and how people could find out a little bit more information. It could be a website, phone number, but just let them know how they can get a hold of you. We'll start with Stan Jones from the Stan Jones teams at Keller Williams.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Stan Jones with the Stan Jones team. I have a full-time assistant that helps us with all the administrative parts of our business. And then we have a buyer's agent full-time, and she helps us with locating buyers and locating homes for our buyers. She's done a phenomenal job over the last few months and kind of weeding out and helping our buyers to get to the closing table, and that's been a very exciting thing. If anyone were interested in locating us, they could go straight to sellwithapro.com, and we're your pro team, and so you can search there. We are predominantly Gwinnett County and anything that touches Gwinnett, but that would be how somebody could locate us.
Very good. Next is Heather Wilson from Keller Williams, WMT Global.
Once again, thank you for having us here today. It's been wonderful, and thank you, Stan and Ginger. It's been great. I am Heather Wilson with Keller Williams, WMT Global. I am the broker of WMT Global and work as an associate broker at Keller Williams Realty, currently independently on my own. You can reach me at a website, wmtglobal.kwrealty.com, or my cell phone, which via text or call, 678-595-8074.
Very good. And finally, last but not least, Ginger Somerville with Keller Williams Atlanta Partners.
Thank you all. I'm going to add to that. It was great being on the team with y'all on the radio. How awesome. I'm Ginger Somerville. I'm independent. You can reach me at my cell at 678-908-6739 or gingersomerville@gmail.com.
Very good. And I'm Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration, taking care of all your floor cleaning and restoration needs. To listen to this show and other Squawk Talk broadcasts, go to squawktalk.businessradiox.com. Until the next Squawk Talk, remember, when you're ready to get the job done right, set the eagle in flight.